Yes, hello, and it's a good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you're listening in to us from this time round. I'm Russell.
And I'm Sonia.
And you're listening again to the Raw Food Barefoot Athlete podcast. And again, what we hopefully are going to do for you or is to encourage you to get yourself out into the world of barefoot running, encouraging you to be involved in understanding raw food nutrition and mindfulness as a lifestyle. Now, if you're going to hang around with us for the rest of this podcast, we surely hope you do, because we do appreciate you just tuning in, and we try to value your time here as a listener. So our format this week is for race reviews and results. We've got the ingredient of the week, which is dates this week.
Yes, I'm really fond of the date and its many uses and health benefits.
Yeah, and that's their role in new raw food nutrition and recipes. The top of the week, I've got a bit of a mixed bag, but it hopefully revolves around the role of mindfulness in our lives. Okay, so where do you want to start?
Well, I think we'll start with the race review, Russell.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, for us, what we ended up doing was there's the South Bank Park run, and that was, we don't look for any really good results out of our park runs this time of year, because it was a hot run on that day. What did you think, Sonia?
Yeah, I mean, the race starts at 7 a.m, but this time of the year, we're in the middle of summer, and you know, we're already got beads of sweat on our foreheads and on our skin before the race even starts, you know. So 1 kilometre into it, and I was really starting to feel quite warm. Yeah, so we're not going to get our PBs through the summer, that's for sure, Russell.
Yeah, well, that was the whole idea, that, you know, it is not a race that we will do to look to get PBs. Now, the park run itself had 470 entrants. Now, that's a big field. I think South Bank for those people that are not familiar with this area, South Bank is a river precinct area that the council run, and it's one of those places that have really nice swimming pools, you know, by the river, and it has all picnic and park area there. And the park run itself at South Banks takes you over one of the walkway bridges across the river, takes you up. It's actually, hasn't it got the longest covered area in the park runs?
Yes, it's got 1 kilometre that actually goes in underneath the highway, you know, the freeway. Yeah. So it's actually undercover by 1 kilometre, which is the longest undercover section in the world, actually, Russell.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't help for heat, does it? It's still hot when you're running down there, you know. That's we ended up competitors there. We both ended up with first place as age group contestants, but you know, the times were nothing you're going to write home to mum about, that's for sure. You know, they were, but when it's not something that, as I say, we're expecting to see a great increase in at this present time, and it's just something I will address a bit later in the topic of the week. If you have anything more to say on the park run at all?
Yeah, we'll just touch on the fact that I was wearing my racing flats this time around at park run at South Bank, and yeah, it was pleasant wearing the racing flats, even though our times weren't really good, you know. I've really got quite used to them now, and I think that when the winter months come, I will get more speed out of myself, and they will actually help me to get faster, I think, Russell.
The racing flats are the unshoe that we had the review on last week. I should give that another review on so much that I ran with the unshoe this last race as well. And as much as it wasn't a problem as the hill run that I did, it still was not as comfortable as what I'd like. And I'm not quite sure how, but it's not like I can't run with it. It just seems the foot doesn't fit well in the shoe sole. So anyway, we'll get back to you on that, on how I solve it, you know. But I mean, that's my excuse for not going fast, of course, you know.
Excuses,
you know, always excuses, you know. Yeah. I said I wasn't going to say
Yeah,
and I did.
Well, we're trying hard. It'll get better.
Okay, all right. Well, at least I'm not swearing. No. It's one good thing. All right, so let's get on with this. It is now, what, ingredient of the week?
Yeah, well, we can go on to the ingredient of the week. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing a bit of research this morning. Now, the ingredient of the week, like Russell was saying before, is dates. They're one of the most ancient fruits out there. And, you know, I'd like everyone out there who's listening today to do their own research on this, because it's really quite interesting, you know, all the data on the fruit itself. With prices, the prices can range from the cheapest, which I'm actually buying them at the moment, for $3.98 a kilogram, but that can vary up to about $32 a kilo for really good, what do you call those really good ones, Russell?
Medjool dates,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, they're high in dietary fibre, and the fibre works as a bulk laxative, so, and dates also help to protect the colon mucous membrane by decreasing exposure time, as well as binding to cancer-causing chemicals in the colon. They're excellent.
Well, that's very technical.
Yeah, well, I know.
That's very technical.
Well, you know, they're really important.
All that binding going on?
Well, I have, you know, as you know, I've always had a bit of problem with constipation, so they're really excellent for me to use, you know, widely through our raw food and uncooking. But they're also an excellent source of iron, and are also rich in the minerals calcium, manganese, copper, magnesium, phosphorus and zinc. So due to their easy digestibility, they are a quick source of energy. So they are great for athletes and runners like ourselves, Russell.
Well, that's actually something we knew intrinsically without having to know what the chemical composition of it all was, is that we use dates as, well, affectionately we call it Datorade. It's our little energy burst in a bottle that we use instead of the gels, et cetera.
Yeah, well, it's a really pleasant, even like the way we do that with the dates, putting in the water and shaking it up, making the Datorade. It's a very nice drink, very thirst-quenching as well. But researchers have also revealed that dates are effective in preventing colon cancer, so at abdominal cancers and things like that. So, and are also alkaline and help to neutralise acidity. And because they're loaded with fibre, soluble and insoluble, dates are able to fill you up and keep your bowel habits regular, and are ideal as a snack to starve off hunger, a quick powerhouse packed in a tiny portable package.
You were waiting for that tiny portable package,
weren't you? I was. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I love to use them.
Can I sort of, this is totally out of, but Sonia's trying to read off a page at the moment.
Yes, you keep distracting me.
And I'm trying to say, look, talking to the microphone, and she's all over. So anyway, this is behind the scenes podcasting.
That's right. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how I use the dates throughout the raw food and uncooking that I do. And, you know, its uses are endless. Every tart shell and biscuit base that I use, you know, has it in there, either for sweetening and or to help bind and hold the ingredients together. And also I use the dates in the tart fillings of various types, and together with chia seed, I can actually come up with an excellent caramel tasting filling. So, you know, that's pretty much my views on dates, and it is in the top 10 of my can't live without ingredients. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's right. And it's one of those products that is grown in an area that did we research on that? I can't remember. There was not a lot of pesticides or anything. And then how to, you know, when it's said as an organic date, most are, aren't they?
They are. Well, a lot of them are grown. Well, some of them are grown in Africa and along the Nile River and places like that. So they're in very remote areas and often in quite harsh conditions. So, yeah, I would say that a lot of them are coming from fairly organic origins.
Yeah, and this comes back to our discussion about whether you have organic or fresh or you know, that, as opposed to something that doesn't have a lot of food miles in it, but it's still fresh and local. Again, it's one of those ingredients that you just go, well, look, this is where it is produced. You look at what eventually is the cost that it is to you on the plate and what it is as an environmental impact as well. And with dates, well, they're in that area. Well, yes, they get transported a long way, but they can do it. You know, they're a fruit. Yeah, you dry out, you pack them up, and you can use them as, how did you put it, power-packed?
Well, it's a quick powerhouse packed in a tiny portable package.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
I love that too.
So we do use quite the ingredients that get used in this household. Dates have their large share of it.
Well, we would be using, between the two of us, I would say at least a minimum of a kilo a week, Russell.
Yeah, a minimum, yeah. Mm. And this is where we often talk about the viability of a raw food lifestyle and the need to be mindful of the pennies as well, because you can start. I mean, it would have to be more than a kilo, wouldn't it?
Well, some weeks, depending. I mean, some of the items I make, you know, we eat more of one lot of stuff more one week than the other. Mm. Some weeks we might be a kilo and a half, but it would average out to a kilo.
Yeah. Well, so the cost saving there is we're buying them for $4 a kilo as opposed to $30 a kilo if you're buying, you know, fresh fruits.
Well, I tried a few different kinds there just before Christmas, but I was disappointed in the flavour. I wasn't quite sure. I think you knew what kind they were, Russell, mm-hmm. but I didn't like them at all.
No, those Chinese stuff.
No, yeah, no,
the Chinese dates. No, they're not nice. But all right, so have we covered dates enough?
Yes, we covered dates. I think enough? So. Okay. I think the most mm-hmm. important thing is if people are interested in learning a bit more about dates and their uses, then that nutrition goes on and on. It even contains protein. So people say with us often with our raw food, plant-based diet, you know, where do you get your protein? Well, there's even protein in the dates. So, and all the protein sources that we consume through the day all add up to, you know, the protein that we need.
Yeah, that's such a question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time we go anywhere, but when you get your protein?
That's right.
It's you know, well, we've answered that a few times. Yeah. I've got other material out there also protein. B12 is another issue that people come up with. But there's plenty of places that you can find intelligent resources to help you with those things. And again, the whole thing with this, what we're doing here as a podcast, is that we hope to give you some, you know, definite information, of course, but at the end of the day, we just want to be signposts. We do want to just point you in a direction, say, oh, look at that, you know, have a look for yourself, make your own decisions. We're pretty intent on what we're doing because we know it works, and so we're only sharing with you what works for us, how we do it, but we always encourage you to get out and just examine it all for yourself. So it becomes an experiential knowledge for you. It's not someone told you. And anything you take, just don't just – because I found that in lots of other areas. There's in raw foods, sort of mythology almost, when you finally get into really accepting it as a lifestyle. There's lots of things that you just start to question and you go, well, no, it's not exactly what they said. So that can either at that time either derail you or make you stronger. Hopefully it's made us stronger looking through the research for ourselves and doing it and working through it. So we're just hoping you come along for that ride with us, okay? So another topic we were going to introduce as well is that what's new and what's going on update. So we went kayaking.
We did.
We went kayaking.
Well, and I haven't done a lot of kayaking, so, you know, Russell was in the better vessel, so it was hard for me to keep up.
What are you trying to say?
Well, yours was just so slick and smooth going through the water so fast, and here I was struggling, paddling along behind.
Oh, it's nothing about being a good paddler or anything. No, okay, all right.
Well, yes, that you're that too.
So what Sonia's referring to there is, and I'll make sure there's a couple of photographs up on the podcast website. I have a lovely kayak, I call it my gentleman's kayak. I've had it for quite some time. It's a plank stripped wooden kayak, and it's a lovely looking piece of shall we go, floating eye candy.
It sure is.
And we took the time to go out to Somerset Dam with a couple of family members, and we took a kayak trip around the dam, and we just enjoyed it quite immensely. So we will going take another overnight camp up there again, and it's something that hopefully we can take you guys on as well, because what it is there's, you would maybe like going, keeping with the what's new and what's going on update, you may have seen that we've updated the website a little bit more. I hope it's a little bit more user friendly. We had quite a bit of trouble with gremlins in the system, but also I have a YouTube channel off of that, and that's What's Up Sport, and that we just try and post all our YouTube adventures and things we can, just to make it interesting and what we find out going along the line. And so, you know, here in Australia at the moment, we're still in summer. We're trying to get out and about a little bit. We've been fairly busy with certain things because of, actually we've been really busy getting our February the 8th event going.
Yes, we have, and that's only about 2.5 weeks away now, so we're still fine-tuning the program, but we're getting both of us are getting quite excited about it, aren't we, Russell? You know?
Oh, definitely. It's an event that we're just putting out as the initial venture of we're calling it the Raw Food Barefoot Adventure, and it's a compilation of the REM lifestyle design, and part of that is understanding the elements of raw food, nutrition, energetics, and mindfulness in your life. So we're putting together a package over 2 days. We've got camping here on site, and we're hoping that, well, basically we've just invited friends and family for the first one, that we're hopeful that the message that we're attempting to put out there is one that will be accepted and recognised as a great platform to be able to live a life from. It's not something, there's nothing new in it. It's just said in a way that, and well, for me, made sense, I suppose, you know. So Sonia's got some wonderful recipes to share. Anything you can tease the listener with?
Yes, well, I'm going to, the program starts off the first couple of hours there with me doing an interactive preparation and presentation of the various things that I uncook. And some of the items will be like your favourite, Russell, the brown bombers, you know.
The brown bombers,
you know. And they're a really, really, really easy recipe to uncook, made up. You know, I can, you know, make a couple of dozen of them up in about 10 minutes. I know that sounds ridiculously fast, but that's how easy they are to make. And so far, when we've served them up to any of our guests and friends, we haven't had a negative response yet. We passed some round the campfire the other night out at Somerset Dam, and we got a from most of the people. So that was a pretty good indication to me that they're a hit. So that's one of the items I'll be preparing. So hopefully some of the people that are at our workshop that day will also join in with me and play around with the food, as we say, playing with our food.
It's a bit of a mantra, is to play with your food. You know, there's that's exactly what we really are hoping to encourage in people, is to understand your food, you know, play with it. Just don't accept what's been said about how nutrition's supposed to be, you know. So that's a very broad statement, isn't it? But there's a lot of people that we've encountered that it's been just a mindset that people have had about things that just need a little gentle adjustment, you know, to find a whole different way of approaching nutrition.
Yes, and you know, a lot of people think that the raw food and the uncooking ways that things are not nice tasting, but I'm hoping that I can prove that theory wrong and show people how easy it is to make yummy, yummy things to eat.
And yummy, yummy being the description that includes yummy, yummy and good for you as well. Some of the foods that we end up consuming as treats are basically a whole food in themselves, because the sweeteners in it are all good, well-sourced sweeteners. The rest of the ingredients have a whole food element in them as well. So it's not like you can have a chocolate treat, but it's not like having a chocolate bar with all the nasties in it. It's actually a complete food group. So that's you know, what we try and encourage people to take on for themselves. So what I'm just going to spend a lot of time on this podcast, but what I really did want to just go through is the understanding of mindfulness, meditation, and behavior. Now, I've just said that because it just occurred to me just on a few of the things that we've been doing of late, that we talked about being able to do PBs and to be able to be ready for an event. Okay, so and like, it's sort of, we're talking about like, when do you peak, you know, when is the time to take massive action, when does goal setting really work, or is it just habits that dictate how you go ahead with things, you know? So
I think that sometimes good habits are much better way to go than just sort of trying to achieve the goal, you know. So I think that is a really important thing, is to really get good habits going in lots of areas of your life.
Yeah, and a key to all, whether you just have set a good habit or you set a goal, for me, behind all that is just that element of mindfulness. Now, for me, another key element of mindfulness is the cultivation of equanimity or non-reactivity. Specifically, mindless meditation teaches one to pay attention to and acknowledge both one's inner experience and the outer world without necessary reacting. The ability to simply observe and accurately sense thoughts, emotions, and physical sensations without having to change them or act on them can be really instrumental in breaking habitual behavior patterns. Now, this is, I'm sort of quoting from a particular textbook that I work with, that it is saying that every time you can use your mindfulness or understanding mindfulness to, every time you look at what is a habitual behavior for you and you wanting to change it, then bring yourself to that present moment sense, and you'll have then the opportunity to act on that thought rather than react to it, okay? So, because having that ability to be mindful of that thought can be really instrumental in breaking habitual behavior patterns that can harm one's health, such as smoking. You grab a cigarette when you're feeling stressed. You eat comfort food when feeling sad. You grab an alcohol drink or other substances to numb you out, when that feeling of depression or whatever, or feeling overwhelmed comes to you, So that's where we sit in that. It's like a key element of mindfulness is the ability to pay attention to the present moment and be on purpose with it. Now, a guy called Kabat-Zinn is a real doing of mindfulness around there. There's a lot of stuff that he's got going on. But clinical study around mindfulness as a technique, there's been clinical studies found that in 8 weeks meditation training or mindfulness meditation training can lead to an increased ability to get yourself into the present moment. And this is measured by laboratory attention testing. And this is part of the clinical structure that I work within in a mindfulness training, as opposed to just the meditation side that's attached to the if you've heard of mindfulness, you probably think of mindfulness as a sitting cross-legged meditative type Zen monk type of action, whereas mindfulness is very present moment, very now, very real all the time. So what studies prove that mindfulness is deeply involved in reshaping ways of thinking, and this can just lead to an improved emotional well-being. So if you're allowing yourself to examine each moment of when you want to make this goal, or when you want this PB, or what does it mean to you, and you allow yourself to be in that present moment tense, you can have your future tense. Yes, you want to reach this goal. You want to, at the end of the season, you want to have a certain time, and that's great. You always have that future tense, but you the ability to set expectations to it, and you really like it. But on the way through, there's this whole mindfulness journey that why are you doing this? What is the purpose behind this? What is the habits that spark it off? And if you can bring yourself into understanding that level of mindfulness that you have, and this is found with people that, people that naturally have a high level of mindfulness in their action, irrespective of formal meditation training, report, feeling less stressed, anxious and depressed, more joyfulness, inspiration, grateful, hopeful, and satisfied with life. So when you look at research such as that, and you're finding that people with that higher level of mindfulness are better able to regulate their sense of well-being by having a greater emotional awareness, then that's when it starts to really come home that that's where you sit with your goals, your purpose, you know, just being really able to be mindful of where they are in your particular growth stream, that, you know, you're not putting too much on the result of what, you know, you've put out there. You can still have joy, intention by being in that present moment on the journey, rather than just being, let the destination be, you know, the place of happiness. You know? So for me, I actually teach and work with a mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy, or MICBT as it's called. And so that's just something I wanted to just say today as a topic of the point of the topic of the week, is just understanding mindfulness and where it is in your life. It actually isn't some great you know you have to be a Zen monk to do it. It's every day in your awareness of your purpose, bringing yourself into look, basically when you've got that focus concentrative meditation practice, it can increase your ability to be able to even monitor where you're going even better. But that's a practice, okay? You get better at it. But even just starting to be mindfulness of why your intention is this, how do I go about it, what this means to me in every present moment, you know, it's a really, really, really good way to work from life from, because then you become in control of your thoughts. You don't become this person who just reacts to something and come out of nowhere. You can identify the thought, think, well, does that suit me? And then act on it in a more, and this comes back to what I was saying about habits. Ah, you know, what do I do this or not? You know, what was, you know, really looking behind you, what creates a habit? Be mindful of why you want to do this. You know, so basically, you know, based on any finding you look in mindfulness training, it's not only possible to train the mind to change the brain, but you know, the more that you are able to train it to be not distracted, you know, better and easier it becomes to have your habits, to fulfill your goals, to just get on and just have a wonderful and that, you know, sort of tying it all up, because I've just been rambling on, is you tie it in with your raw food nutrition. You understand your energetics and movements, because everything, like, is a movement. You know, it's a flow. Everything moves from one place to another. It's always in transition. So if you're being stagnant in some place, well, then, you know, that's a problem area for you, and that's in your thoughts, your minds, you know. But you know, you control your thoughts, you control your actions, you control your food, and you just play with it, you know, just play with it the best you can. So hopefully that's come out in this podcast, is that, yeah, look, you know, play with your food, just be joyful in all your actions and mindfulness and mindful in all your actions. So, geez, I've just raved on something on that one. Hopefully it made sense to somebody. We have to get out of here, because I think we've gone over the 30 minutes. So what we'll do is just remind people to catch up with us in our Facebook page, to comment on the I almost got through it. I should be more mindful, shouldn't I? So, yeah, catch us up on the Facebook page of Raw Food Barefoot Athlete, and look up our YouTube channel at What's Up Sport, WATZZUPSPORT. So from Russell, it's goodbye.
And from me, Sonia, as well. Catch you next time.
Okay. Thanks.
Remember, take off your shoes. Go for a run. Shoe manufacturers don't own your soul.